Little snippy. Little snippy this morning.
What was all that noise I heard after the end of the spots before I did the sports?
I have no idea.
That was weird.
I don't know. It sounded like chirping birds.
It sounded like, I don't know what
it was. But this would be the right show for that. By the way, you have been sponsored by MedVetChicago.com.
Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old
Gotta be Swanee. Alex Olson.
I'd give the world to be.
You're correct.
See?
I even know my mammy.
Waiting for me, praying for me.
Well, down you wrote the lyrics, of course. So you earn another nickel. Good morning, Mr. Schwanee.
Good morning to you.
Hey, last night I had the honor to attend an event celebrating the 35th anniversary. It was a gala event of the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Oh, yeah. I was talking to Dave Plyer about that.
Yes.
It was quite an affair.
Yes. Mr. Plyer was there at the WGN table. John Williams was there.
Right.
Our boss, Todd Manley, was there. Larry Wirt was there, who I still haven't had the opportunity to meet. I think he looks at me and says, who's that guy? But I also, at another table, I was at Paul Lisnick's table. And this was the first time Paul, of course, is political reporter at WGN-TV. You can also catch him on Comcast. But Paul, this is the first time ever that I've noted he stayed up after 6 p.m.
Oh.
Yeah. In fact, I had to leave before Paul because I had to get here to do this radio show. You know, I left maybe at about 10:30. Paul was still there dancing on the dance floor.
Wow.
Dancing by himself, but nevertheless. And the thing is about it that there was no music at the time, but still he was dancing on the dance floor. We'll be back.
What's the old saying? Dance like no one is looking, right?
He does most things as if no one is looking, including the television work he does. Thank you, Mr. Schwanee.
See you at 7.
Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Today is National Puppy Mill Awareness Day, and on Michigan Avenue, as I mentioned, there is going to be a big event, which I will tell you about. I am leading the parade, and it kind of is like a parade, up and down Michigan Avenue. But first, an event I was at yesterday, the organization is called Puppy Up, and Luke Robinson is on the air, on the phone, right now. Good morning, Luke.
Morning, Steve. How are you, sir?
I am good. Thank you. And, you know, when I was first introduced at another event to your organization, it was last year or earlier this year, for the Anti-Cruelty Society, their Bark in the Park. It was earlier this year, I believe. And you were explaining what Puppy Up is to me. I instantly understood, because here's what I know. It's great that we're doing research and that there's research funded to study cancer in people. We need that quite clearly. I don't have to explain why. And oftentimes, the model used to try out in a clinical trial, a new drug or a new approach of any kind, is a rodent. And the thing is that rodents don't live that long. The cancer is induced in these animals. I've always thought, and I've written about this for years, and I've talked about it on the radio, dogs would be a far better model. And here and there, researchers have used dogs. There's a canine lymphoma vaccine that is also being investigated now for people. It's available for dogs, likely will be available for people at some point as one example. There are many examples of this, but I thought, and I've always thought, we can do and we need to do a better job. Dogs get these kinds of cancers anyway. They share our environment. They are far more closely related to us than your lab rat is, and they live much longer, so you get a greater perspective, and we could help dogs as well as help people. And when I heard about your organization that does everything I just stated, I thought, cool, they're on it. So first off, did I state it more or less correctly? And I also want to know, Luke, where you got the idea from, how Puppy Up began.
Yeah, Steve. Well, I wasn't really a dog guy until an ex-girlfriend of mine, it always starts that way, it seems,
yes,
called me up and asked me if I wanted a dog. And I swear I said no, but I ended up with Malcolm. And he sort of changed my life. But at the young age of 6, he was diagnosed with bone cancer that metastasized. I lost him. And he was such an inspiration to me that it inspired me to sell my truck and put my stuff in the storage. And I had two Great Pyrenees with me at the time, Hudson and Murphy. And we backpacked from Austin to Boston, 2,300 miles. And we started the Puppy Up Foundation because I'm a Texas boy. They say cowboy up or man up. Well, heck with those guys. You know, we puppy up. So, you know, the cool thing about it, what you just said, is that you really spoke to the three pillars of our mission, the mission of the Puppy Up Foundation, that is education, awareness, and the science, all equally important, because we can't fund the science if we don't have the awareness and the education component that, look, guys, cancer in dogs is an epidemic of frightening proportions. I have backpacked with my dogs 4,000 miles cross country. That is 1/6 the circumference of the earth. I've met pet parents all over across 19 states. So I've seen firsthand the scourge that is cancer in dogs, and more importantly, how it relates to the cancer in people. So the kind of studies that we find, like you said, or comparative oncology, because we know that the cancer in dogs is comparable to the cancer in people. And more importantly, as you said, the rat is not the ideal model for scientific research. Dogs are. And the more important, I guess the sad fact is, dogs have such a large population of tumors that spontaneously or naturally occur that we can partner with our canine counterpart, and that can help us understand cancer in people.
You know, there are several reasons why dogs get cancer. And one is that it's genetics of that individual animal. Another is that there may be a breed predisposition, so genetics at a very larger scale, so certain types of cancer. You mentioned bone cancer in greyhounds. Sadly, bone cancer is pretty common. In addition to that, we think that early spay neuter, particularly in male dogs, the neuter, might in some breeds slightly increase the odds of some types of cancer. So why would that be the case? And also the environment that we share with dogs. And also one more thing, and that's old age. So to some extent, if your dog lives long enough, the odds increase a lot that your dog will be diagnosed with cancer. So you put all those reasons together and accept individual dog genetics, because we're not dogs, they all relate to us in some way.
Right. It's a salient point. You know, look, cancer is a disease of the DNA. It's a genetic disease. It's existed as long as we've had DNA in this world. Cancer has been around. And the older you get, every time that your DNA replicates, it has errors, and that becomes increasingly more so the older that you get. The problem I have, Steve, and I guess that's the kernel of the epidemic that really concerns me, is that cancer is no longer a disease of old age, as we know, in humans. Pediatric oncology is a big, big problem.
Yeah.
It's also true of canines as well. Steve, I have personally seen dogs as young as 6 months diagnosed with lymphoma. The youngest I've seen was a mast cell tumor pulled off a puppy that was 8 weeks old.
What?
Look, when we have puppies that are getting cancer at 8 weeks, we've somehow upset the natural order of things. So, yes, cancer is a genetic disease, but it has an environmental basis, and that's where comparative oncology is going. Look, cancer is a cross-species disease, and it's because we share a common ecosystem. You're absolutely right, genetic disease, but there is an environmental basis for it, and that's what we need to understand.
Well, we share a common ecosystem. You're totally correct. But in the case of dogs, unlike polar bears, for example, polar bears get cancer, but we share our beds with our dogs. So we share our lives with our dogs, and it's no wonder why we're seeing more cancer. And you're right. for reasons that are poorly understood. The Morris Animal Foundation right now is conducting a multi-year study to try to figure this out, and they're looking specifically at golden retrievers. But in several breeds in particular, we're seeing early cancer, and hemangiosarcoma, a blood cancer, is one of them. And while many types of cancers can be treated in dogs, if you can pay for it, that's one that can't very much be treated anyway, at least now with the current knowledge we have. And that's what you're about changing. So you mentioned education and how important that is, and awareness. All right, we've got those things, let's say, and you're raising money, and you're raising money to support and fund studies, and you've supported and funded several at this point in time. I look at your advisory board and all the letters after those names of, in some cases, some veterinary oncologists who I happen to know, and that's great news because you really are walking the walk, and you held this walk yesterday, your first ever in Chicago. In Lincoln Park. I hope you found that a success. I hope you raised some money. What does that money, give me some examples of the way in which you've helped already fund some studies.
Yeah, I think the best example of that was a study that we funded, and it also emphasizes the comparable aspect of the studies that we fund, is the Animal Medical Center in Manhattan wanted to try to do a study on a drug delivery device that more effectively got chemo to the tumor site for transitional cell carcinoma, which is a bladder cancer, in dogs. And what we found was a fairly large dog population in the study for comparative studies. What we found that bladder cancer is particularly nasty, and in most cases, it's not operable. So in this study, we were able to get more drugs to the tumor site. And in some cases, we met some of the patients that were enrolled in the study. And the average prognosis that once your dog becomes symptomatic of this type of bladder cancer, the dogs only typically live like a month. Well, in this study, some of the dogs live beyond a year. So in this small study that we funded with Animal Medical Center in Manhattan, we got great, great results that we hope to take to Sloan Kettering, say, and so let's now do this clinical trial with this drug delivery device in humans as well. So I think it's a great example of the type of studies that we fund.
Very cool. So what I failed to do, I'm sorry, is offer our phone number, 312-981-7200. And that is our phone number. And text us at that number as well. And, of course, people know that, and they have been texting. And the most, well, let me read you one comment more than a question. Steve, I've had dogs for years, happily have avoided cancer, but I didn't know that so many types of cancer are identical in people as they are in dogs. So that to me is really interesting because that's a dog owner who's first of all been very lucky. And secondly, just didn't know. And I think you're not alone. I think a lot of people don't know. In addition, lots of people asking me, all right, where can I get further information? This sounds interesting. Another says this sounds fascinating. So where can people go to learn more?
Yeah, we'll definitely go to puppyup.org. That's puppy as in the smaller version of the dog, up as opposed to down, puppyup.org. And we've got early warning signs of cancer for dogs. You could find that. We've got a bunch of great information. If you have an interest in volunteering, you could do that as well, or starting your own walk. I think we made a great solid start in Chicago on our first year out. I'm very excited about it. I think we established key strategic relationships and partnerships for next year because we're definitely coming back next year.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. We loved it. It was a great time in Montrose Beach. Wow, Dog Beach. That's a fantastic area. I love it there.
Isn't that great? I mean, so you've got the beach for people, and that's next door, and I believe the dog beach is larger by square footage than the beach that's next door where these people hang out instead of the dogs. And sometimes the dog beach is so much fun that I love it watching people who just come without a dog and they're just coming to watch the dogs because it is great entertainment. I'm very proud of Montrose Dog Beach in Chicago. And frankly, I am proud of what you've done with Puppy Up. Luke Robinson, keep going. It's important. Go ahead.
We will build this mile by mile, city by city, until, you know, we no longer have between 2 and 4 million dogs that get cancer every year. So Chicago, we planted a flag there. It's another great city that we're adding to the Puppy Up walks that we do all around the country. So we're happy that you were a partner there. And I guess we didn't have a chance to talk about the life of the green carpet, but we'll talk in a couple of weeks because I want to hear your idea. It was just a beta test of it. But anyway, thank you for being a part of our Puppy Up, our inaugural Puppy Up walk this year.
I was pleased to do it, honored to do it. Thank you so much for making a difference, and you're doing just that. Thank you, Luke.
Safe travels, buddy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Where's my promo for WGNRadio.com? I'm there with a couple of podcasts. One, no surprise, all about pets. But the other isn't about pets at all, generally. We call it Steve Dale's Other World, because this show is called Steve Dale's Pet World. Oh, and there goes a Labrador down the street. Actually, a Golden. That was a Golden Retriever. Sorry. I think I offended the dog by saying it was a Labrador. I apologize for that. So what was I saying? Oh, Vicky Santo. I talked to her about the Ron and Vicky Santo Diabetes Alert Dog Foundation. And Vicky really opens up in this conversation that you can hear at WGN Plus about Ron, about how she feels. And I can't imagine, you know, walking on Addison and Sheffield and walking into the entrance on that side into Wrigley Field and seeing Ron's statue. You know, it's kind of a good feeling and kind of an odd feeling in a way. I mean, she talks about that. And she also talks about the legacy of Ron Santo and why Ron would have chosen this, the Diabetes Alert Dog Foundation. Nothing directly at all to do with baseball. This is what she chose and what Ron would have chosen. And she talks about why and the amazing work these dogs do, how they're trained, all at WGNplus.com. And under the features, I'm featurey, you'll see the podcast. Lots of text in here. I want to try to get to them at 5 minutes before 7 o'clock, including one about fleas. How does an indoor cat get fleas? I'll tell you about it. Dog Patch Pet and Feed in Naperville has everything you need to keep your pet safe and active. Interested in pet adoption? Dog Patch placed over 400 rescue dogs last year. They have a new shelter and rescue animal coming in, it seems, all the time. You can check them out at dogpatchpets.com. On Facebook, everyone's on Facebook. They're on Facebook at Dog Patch Pet and Feed. Or check them out in person, best of all. 1108 East Ogden Avenue in Naperville. You can save big on From in September. Save $4 on both dog and cat foods all month long. All right. How do my indoor cats, Steve, get fleas? It happened last weekend. I bombed my house and washed the bedding and blankets. I put flea collars on the cats. They're still scratching. Can I put Frontline on? That's a spot-on product. And then use the flea collars at the same time. The instructions on each are not clear as to whether I can do that. Well, you're asking the wrong guy. You should be asking your veterinarian, and here's why I say that. Veterinary products. Now, there's one collar that I kind of like, and it is a veterinary product, but the others are kind of hit and miss. And the thing is, you go to a big box store, and you buy what has the best advertising or the best packaging, but it might not be the best product, as we can find out, because the veterinary stuff works. And apparently this is not working for you. As to how indoor cats can get fleas, they can. And we're surprised about that. But they, you know, so if you have a dog also, and that dog is unprotected, certainly that dog is the number one suspect. But we can bring in fleas on our shoes. And one flea or a pant leg, and one flea drops off, and there you go. If the flea happens to be pregnant, now you got a lot of fleas in your house. So you can do something about it. You're doing something about it, but the best thing to do is to talk with your veterinarian about the right product for your cat. I will see you at 12 noon at the Wrigley Building, right across the street from where we're at, for the Puppy Mill March. It is Puppy Mill Awareness Day.